The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Yes, we have made it to Friday once again here in Auburn and Opelika. Friday, May 24th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. No Uncle T-Bone today, out of town with some other responsibilities, but he will be back. Not on Monday, though, because Monday is Memorial Day, so we are off on Monday. All shows across all of our stations. But most importantly, in terms of what you would be interested in, no ESPN shows on Monday. That goes for the Max Roundtable. That goes for us here during On the Line and for Bill and Dan with The Drive. So Uncle T-Bone, that'll bring him back on Wednesday. Yeah, so it'll be a little bit before he's back in the studio. We will be back on Tuesday, but we've got a great show on tap for you today. So much news to get to. Talk some Auburn football. Get into some position talk today. Plus the huge, the settlement in terms of what the future of college football and the future of college athletics is going to look like. It's a wild story in development, so we'll get into that today on this Free For All Friday. But as I promised, here in hour number one, we are joined by our recruiting guru from Auburn Undercover and Auburn 247, good friend of mine and of the program, Christian Clemente, with us, man. Great to have you back. It's been too long since you've been in the studio, my man.
Yeah, no, it's been a little bit, but we good to be back here and have a ton to talk about with, I mean, obviously all the news that you just talked about, and then it's going to be a crazy month in Auburn recruiting, I can promise you that.
Yeah, so here as we get towards right the end of May into June, and then, of course, Big Cat coming up in late July. I mean, so many things to get to today. And so excited to have you back in the studio, get caught up on what's been going on in terms of recruiting and what we think is going to happen, and then what's coming up, important dates, important names to know, all that type of stuff. So that's what we're talking about here in hour number one. If you have comments, questions, concerns for us in terms of recruiting, more for importantly for Christian, because he knows it a lot better than I do, give us a call. Phone lines are open today. 334-321-1390 is the number to get you through to us. 334-321-1390. And, you know, as we are getting into May, right, we've had the spring practice and we've had all that. We've had the other portal windows and the spring portal and how crazy and insane that got. And it really wasn't, though, what we thought it was going to be, right, in terms of the transfer portal, in terms of just the hecticness, and especially for Auburn, like, it wasn't overly active for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers and the transfer portal in the spring, right? I mean, just kind of a lot slower than we thought it would be.
No, I mean, it wasn't super crazy. In all honesty, I didn't think it would be terribly crazy, just because there weren't a ton of spots available. You didn't think that a ton of guys would leave. In all honesty, and no disrespect to the guys that did leave, you only really feel like you lost one truly in Colton Hood.
Yeah,
the rest of the guys, you felt pretty okay with them leaving. You know, you maybe would have liked Jay Fair to stick around, but you feel okay with that receiver room, especially once you replace him with a guy like Keandre Lambert Smith, although it's not like the same position, but still one for one in the receiver room. Probably rather have Keandre Lambert Smith than Jay Fair. So it was not a bad loss for Auburn throughout the portal, and definitely a lot of positives for Auburn through the portal. You know, it wasn't the craziest additions outside of Keandre Lambert Smith, but you feel good about strengthening up that defensive line.
For sure, yeah.
You feel good about getting Jalen McLeod some help there with Keyron Crawford. So wasn't like the craziest, the sexiest portal, whatever, but it was good for Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did what they needed to do, right? I think they went and kind of beefed up the areas that they wanted to beef up. You mentioned Lambert Smith, the wide receiver from Penn State. And regardless what people in Happy Valley say, I think it is a good addition to that receiver room. I think he's a guy that steps in and is a starter and probably your early on go-to receiver, don't you think, on offense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, the guy has put up a ton of production in the Big Ten at a quality school. So I know some Penn State people and even some Penn State media folks kind of trashed on him a little bit when he left, but
which was weird.
Look, for what Auburn needs, he's perfect. It takes a little bit of pressure off a guy like Cam Coleman. Helps. I mean, it helps everybody. Even if Keandre Lambert-Smith isn't going for 1,000 yards, which I don't think he will, it helps Cam Coleman. It helps Perry Thompson. It helps Robert Lewis. It helps Rivaldo Fairweather. Because last year, I mean, Rivaldo was about your only pass catcher that was, you know, really confident. So it helps all those young guys they brought in. It helps a guy like Camden Brown. Look, he's a really beneficial addition to that room. So
yeah, and you mentioned too the defensive line that got beefed up too. Philip Bleedy from Indiana, I think, is one of the bigger ones that Auburn was going after, and one of the biggest additions as well. And that defensive side of the football, it continues to get overlooked, because I think Auburn fans right now are just kind of confident on that defensive side and not overly worried. That tends to not get talked about. When you feel good about it, you kind of leave it in the dust, and the things that you're worried about tend to be brought up a lot more. But yeah, the defensive side of the football, man, position wise is looking really, really solid.
Yeah, I mean, you have some question marks there. You don't necessarily have star power on the interior defensive line, because I still count Keldrick Falk as more of a defensive end in the defense.
That's fair. Yeah.
But you feel really good about the numbers that you have there. You don't have a guy like Marcus Harris, but it's kind of like the Moneyball scene. If you can replace Marcus Harris with enough other bodies
to make up for it.
Yeah, to make up for that production that he had, you can feel okay with it. Linebackers, you got everyone back, and you added one.
Mm-hmm.
And even Robert Woodyard started to come on pretty strong there in the A-Day game and throughout the spring practice as well. Secondary is probably where people have the most concerns, but you feel so good about how much young talent that you have there that, you know, with guys like Jaron Thompson, who came in from Texas, with a guy like Keontae Scott, you feel pretty confident that Kay and Lee and some of those other guys can make up for what you lost to the draft last year.
Yeah, and bringing back some of those experienced guys, whether it be the secondary or the linebacker room, a guy like Eugene Asante, I mean, you feel good, and I think Hugh Freeze kind of told us this throughout the spring, was, you know, you feel good about the experienced guys that returned that very easily could have left and gone to the next level, could have transferred out, whatever. Between those guys that came back and the young puppies, is what he called them, that are going to have to get some playing time, and they're going to be trial by fire, right? They're going to be thrown in and just sink or swim. Auburn's schedule, I think, is something that we'll get into later, but it helps in that regard where you have, let's just be honest, 4 games before Oklahoma to really get those young guys in there, especially defensively. And on the offensive side with that receiver room, you've got a little bit of time to work them in and see what they become behind those senior leaders.
Yeah, and the good part is pretty much everybody you already had in for spring practice, you know, the guys that you didn't have were on the offensive side of the ball, Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons. But both of those guys are really good athletes and guys that should be able to step in. And, you know, they'll be here, I think they report tomorrow. Ahead of summer workouts next week and then fall practice, obviously. So they'll have time. And like you mentioned, you have Alabama A&M. You have some of those other games at the beginning of the year to get their feet wet a little bit. And then the portal guys are all pretty experienced. So you would hope that, especially on the defensive side of the ball, they'd be able to step in and you'll be pretty ready to contribute. I mean, you need them to be ready to contribute, but you feel pretty confident that they will.
And so I'm trying to remember when the last time we talked to you was on the air. I can't remember what we're discussing and when that was. It's been a little bit. And so kind of recap what's been happening in terms of recruiting for Auburn. I mean, on the football side, again, I know the dates, and it's a 365 job nowadays with high school recruiting, and the dates all move around, and when people can take visits and not, and visit and viewing periods and all that mess. I mean, it's insane with all the different sports. But in terms of football, kind of catch us up to what's been going on here recently for Auburn.
Yeah, so just in terms of recruiting, I mean, look, everything has gotten pushed forward in a sense where recruiting just happens so much quicker now. Guys commit so much quicker.
Right.
I mean, even look at the 2026 class. You already have 2 commitments there. That wouldn't have happened 5 years ago, and I'm not saying because it's this staff. You know, this staff is doing a good job. I'm just saying in general, everyone is committing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's just happening.
Why? Why do you think that is?
You got to get a spot because of the portal, stuff like that. Even there's so many different factors to it.
But I also feel, not to cut you off, but I feel like too, though, when you have those guys commit so early and they're committed for so long, yet so many of them, I look at Julian Lewis, for example, a guy that, and we'll get to him, don't you worry, He's been committed to USC for a long time, but yet he's out tree shopping. He's out looking at all these other places, and I think people feel good about that possibly changing. And so if somebody does commit for 26 or beyond, I mean, you still have to actively recruit them because, it's a 365-day thing. You have to stay on these kids.
You're completely right. Look, the thing I say about commitments, and credit to Jeffrey Lee, he first told me this, so I'm not going to pretend like I came up with this idea, but he said, you know, it's their public leader at that time. It's not really a commitment as much as it was, in all honesty.
It's just an announcement almost.
It's public.
An update.
Yeah, pretty much. It's an update. You're publicly my leader, and everybody else knows it. I mean, that's, in all honesty, that's kind of what it is. And especially, you mentioned it with the 26 guys. Like, you have to keep recruiting them nonstop. You have to try and hold on. As soon as you get a commitment, it's, okay, well, can we hold on to it?
Yeah.
And go from there. So it's crazy. I know a lot of the national people like to say, it's commitment season, then flip season, then commitment season again. I mean,
it's about accurate, though.
Yeah, it's the way it goes now, which is unfortunate, but it's the world we live in. There's nothing I can do to change it.
So. Yeah, and that's a really good way to put it. And it's almost, hey, I'm committing to play at Auburn, and I'm committing to go to Ohio State or whatever it is. It's an update because, again, so many of these kids, and they have the right to do this, just because you have verbally committed doesn't mean that you've signed on the dotted line, right? And that doesn't mean that you have completely shut it down. I know in the prime Dabo Swinney days at Clemson, if you committed, you didn't visit anywhere or else they would take their offer away from you, which was kind of absurd, but I guess it worked for a while.
They still kind of do that a little bit.
Does he? Okay.
They've eased up a little bit, but like you're not really supposed to take visits if you're committed to Clemson, and you're supposed to keep it pretty quiet. So.
I mean, that's... And look, if that's how they want to run it, that's how they want to go. And, of course, he doesn't believe in the transfer portal, so good luck to him. But it's just in this day and age where so many things are changing, and it can change within a phone call, right, on where you want to go because of X amount of reasons of, again, playing time, position, NIL, of course. I mean, it can change overnight. You've seen it. We've seen it here in Auburn, how it has changed within a phone call in these high school recruitments. I mean, it's unbelievable to see.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I always think about, you know, what happens to and against different schools. You know, with Auburn last year, it worked out really well with Joe Phillips, where they swooped in late, made sure that he was not going to leave the state. And then you look towards the end, closer to signing day, a guy like KJ Bolden, you felt pretty good about adding on Monday.
Yeah.
And then signing day is on Wednesday, and, you know, he ends up signing with Georgia. It gives and it takes. That's the way it goes now. You have to play the game and kind of hope for the best.
Of course. And to get back to it, I mean, guys that commit and are a part of the recruiting class, depending on rankings, you know, looking on 247's website. I mean, again, that can just change over time because schools find more NIL money or they find a new role or somebody decommits and now they want to come back after somebody else. I mean, it's an ever-changing thing. And so what has, in your mind, I guess, what has Auburn done in a sense to kind of control that the best that they can to keep guys that are committed to keep them committed to Auburn, eventually try to get them on campus and be a part of the recruiting class and be a part of the roster whenever their time comes?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to you have to do the best that you can. You have to keep recruiting them actively. You can't give up as soon as, you know, you don't get comfortable once they commit. You just start a whole different recruiting pitch once they commit, basically. Yeah. That, and then, you know, this staff is particular about the type of players that they bring in, culture-wise, fit-wise. They want to make sure that they're bringing in the right guys. And I think that they would even be honest and say that some of the guys they brought in last year, in terms of guys from the transfer portal, didn't quite fit that. And with the portal, you know, it's so much different because you have, you know, we were just talking with Will Redmond. Jason had a video interview with him yesterday. He said, look, the transfer portal is speed dating. You just have to quickly make a decision and kind of go from there.
So swipe right or swipe left.
Yeah. So you have to make a quick decision. So it's hard to figure out a culture fit. But with high school guys, you have years to recruit them. You have years to get to know them, bring them on campus, go and see them during evaluation periods, official visits, all that stuff. So you have a really long time to get to know these kids and make sure that, you know, that they're going to fit. And ideally, you know, if you're Auburn, you're hoping that the guys that you're getting committed are guys that are going to fit and guys that are going to be loyal.
Sure.
So.
And something that we'll get to after the break is the fact that this staff is just now cementing themselves and being able to do that and talk with 26, 27, 28 guys, right? In those recruiting classes where when they had to come in, and of course this staff has changed a lot even since they got here, they just had to come in and make up ground and just pray, really, and just hope and pray that they can convince some kids to take a chance. And so now they're able to set those, kind of set that narrative and get in and talk to kids who are 3 and 4 years down the line, and they seem to be doing a pretty good job about that.
Yeah, look, it's kind of a testament to them, but it's kind of a minor miracle that they signed the 2024 class that they did. It was
a really impressive
class, but you came in so late. You know, we were just talking about how recruiting is so much further ahead now. You do it so often. I mean, look at some of the marquee guys that they brought in the class. Mm-hmm. When they get here, DeMarcus Riddick has already committed to Georgia, leaving the state of Alabama. Perry Thompson is committed to Alabama, had been committed there for a long time. Neither of those guys said that they had even really heard from Auburn before that. Cam Coleman said that Auburn was not really even in the mix for him. I mean, those are your marquee three guys. Amaris Williams, another one. Jamonte Waller, another one. Guys that Auburn was not even remotely in the mix with, and you get in and make a move. I mean, a year is a long time in recruiting, but you're still trying to fight uphill battle against all these teams who've been recruiting them longer, putting more product out there on the field, everything. So it was testament to them that they did that in 2024, but now you're seeing it in 2025 and 2026 that they already have these relationships and that they can build off those and get early commitments. Last year they went into the summer, they went into June with like three or four commitments. Walker White was one. Fat Burnett, Jaden Lewis, neither of those guys ended up even in the class, but you only had a handful of guys going into the summer. Now you have 11. You already have your class. You have the foundation built. Now it's about big game hunting a little bit.
Right. What can you add? Yeah.
Yeah, going out for the Julian Lewis's, going out for the five-star guys that you want to try and make the marquee additions of your class.
Right. You went and got the guys that you when they sat down and made their list, they went and got the ones that they had to have. And now it's almost, all right, well, we've gotten what we want. Let's take a couple shots. Let's take a couple deep shots, right, and see what we can land. And I think that's what Auburn is trying to do. Off to a hot start in 2025. We'll talk some more about that 2025 class, plus what this staff has done in particular and what players are saying about this staff that is really turning some kids back to Auburn and trying to convince the biggest names in the state of Alabama and in the future recruiting classes what it takes and why they should be here on the Plains. We're talking with Christian Clemente from Auburn 247, all of Hour Number 1 here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Give us a call. Your comments, questions, and concerns, 334-321-1390. We'll be back after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7. This is Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. I'm Jacob Goins with you on this Friday afternoon. We're joined by Christian Clemente from Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover. I'm sure most of you read his wonderful work, and everybody over at Auburn Undercover, Jason Caldwell, Nathan King, all those wonderful guys over there. Christian, plug all your stuff. Tell people where they can find it. If for whatever reason they don't know where it is at this point, tell them where they can get it and kind of what's coming up over the next few weeks. We'll get into some more of what that is, but tell the people where they can find everything.
Yeah, so it's all over at auburnundercover.com. auburn247.com gets you there as well. Look, it's going to be it's not the off season, I can promise you that, because it gets the next 3 weeks. You have official visits starting back up again next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Four or five guys will be in town. Then on that Sunday, I think it's Sunday, June 2nd, is the first elite camp. There will be a pair of 7-on-7 camps, another elite camp, an O-line, D-line camp. All of that with a ton of official visits mixed in, and all that leads up to Big Cat Weekend at the end of July. We know how the Auburn staff likes to do Big Cat Weekend. We saw how it worked out for them last year pretty positively. So
yeah.
So we'll see. It'll be a crazy couple months here, and we'll have it all covered for you over there.
Yeah, so go check that out, Auburn Undercover. You can read all of that from everybody over there at Auburn 247. And I assume that all of those camps and events leading up to Big Cat, they're expecting good turnout, and most of those are invitation-based, I would assume, right, as terms of, I guess, certain ones may not be. But tell us how kind of those work a little bit.
Yeah, so the elite camps, I believe anyone can sign up for. But, you know, some of the main guys that are really, truly top targets for Auburn will be invite guys. They'll be, hey, you know, come on down, camp with us. Maybe some fringe guys like, hey, we want to see you camp before we offer, or, you know, we want to see you camp before, you know, you're a take for us, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
But then the 7-on-7 camps, I believe, are invite only. And the list for those are absolutely loaded. Carrollton is expected to be there, which is Julian Lewis's team.
Nice.
Enterprise with Eric Winters, Grayson, Tyler Atkinson is on that team. Thompson with Anquan Fagans. there's a ton of talented teams coming in for those two 7-on-7 camps, so that'll be really fun to watch.
When are those again?
June 6th and June 7th,
okay.
I believe.
Okay, so. Yeah, so I think that's, the end of that first official week of June. I think June 1st is a Saturday, so that kind of throws all that off. But that's exciting, and then as you mentioned, you've got Big Cat Weekend coming up at the end of July, and somebody was asking me the other day about Big Cat Weekend. It may have been Doug from the Max Roundtable, who he just said, it just seems like Big Cat Weekend is different than any other recruiting event, and it's almost so unique to Auburn because they put so much into it, and it's such an important weekend for Auburn recruiting. And he was kind of asking me why, and I just told him that it's the premier weekend, and it's not just about the recruits, but their families become a part of it, and it's just a massive social event, really, in terms of recruiting. And Big Cat has become one of the biggest recruiting events in the country every single year.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's a big hangout. Look, you mentioned the families for the recruits, the families for the coaches as well. It's a family event.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not really a football event. It's more of a family hang out, barbecue, go to the pool, stuff like that. You know, it's a chill event.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it hasn't necessarily always been that way. They adapt it year to year. Last year they did a scavenger hunt on it, and then it ended at the pool. I don't know what they have planned this year, but I'm sure it'll be something similar or shake it up a little bit. You know, we'll see. But it was, you know, it all started with Gene Chizik, and I think he was one of the first ones. This is before my time a little bit, so if my history is wrong here, I apologize. But I think Big Cat, when he started it, was one of the first big recruiting events, like, nationally, in terms
right.
of, like, schools, you know, they would have big recruiting weekends with a lot of guys on campus, but they didn't name an event after it. They didn't do a whole
promotion for it.
Yeah, exactly.
They do a whole promoting campaign for it.
Yeah, so Auburn has that huge for Big Cat. Now you see a bunch of other schools do events like that as well, and they all have a different twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
But Auburn's has kind of been uniquely Auburn, and it's turned out really, really well over the years for them.
Yeah, and in the last handful of years, we've seen some, and that's what I was telling Doug, was some of them have been pretty embarrassing and abysmal in terms of when a certain coach was here. But then, all of a sudden, last year's was just insanity. I mean, you had a certain number of guys that were invited, but you had dozens and dozens of kids just show up. They just appeared, and it was you were there, right? Hundreds of kids and families were there. Is that right?
That was the junior day. That's the
okay.
big junior
Apologies.
Day that they did. But Big Cat was huge last year as well. There were probably 50 to 75 guys.
I mean,
that
that's
really
still good.
But I mean, you just think about what came out of Big Cat last year. You get Malcolm Simmons to commit.
Mm-hmm.
You get Perry Thompson to flip. So those were the two that happened during the day. DeAndre Carter committed at Big Cat and then went public with it about a month or so later.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Lindsey couldn't make it up for Big Cat, but his family did. And he ends up committing on FaceTime and committing publicly like a month or so later as well.
Yeah.
So he commits there. I'm sure there's some other guys that I can't think of off the top of my head, but it's always been a really, really quality event for Auburn. It's something that they always plan around in terms of, you know, setting up commitments, getting guys to get close, and then pop during Big Cat. I think mm-hmm. they've already got some in the works for this year. I know they've already got some in the works this year, so it'll be fun.
It's almost it's a party that you don't want to miss out on. If you're any sort of interested in Auburn, or if Auburn's any sort of interested in you, it's something that Auburn has done a really good job with Big Cat Weekend of making it with FOMO, the fear of missing out, right? If you're not there, there's something that you're going to miss. And with you have big names that are flipping and committing and doing all those things, like, yeah, if you're anybody, you want to be a part of that. And if you're not, then, you know, you feel like you're missing out because of this such a big event and the family atmosphere part of it. I mean, it's Auburn credit to them, man. They've done a fantastic job going over 10 years now that they've been doing it. That's a big deal for Big Cat.
Yeah, it's a spectacle. I mean, the thing that I always go back to, and he obviously didn't end up in Auburn's class, but I'll never forget last year when Perry was going to flip, and he was live on Instagram, I think it was, and, you know, KJ Bolden was meeting with Hugh Freeze at the time, actually,
yeah.
And he goes sprinting outside of the football facility to get over to the pool. He's like, man, my boy's about to flip, and so they're, you know, they're sprinting over there to make sure that they're in attendance for that, and Hugh Freeze goes running out, and they drive him over on a golf cart to get him there as quick as possible, and then they throw him in the pool. I mean, it's just a huge – you encapsulated it perfectly. It's FOMO, and, you know, if you're an elite guy and Auburn's recruiting you, you're going to have an invite to Big Cat Weekend, and you're going to want to be there.
Well, hopefully between now and then, we'll get you back in the studio to talk about Big Cat and the names that we are going to know that are going to be there. And you just never know what's going to happen with the biggest recruiting event for Auburn in the calendar year. Talking Auburn football recruiting with Christian Clemente of Auburn 247. We'll take a look at the 2025 class and a name that everybody's become very familiar with, and if the possibility of him flipping is true. We'll talk about all that and more 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. We're joined by Christian Clemente from Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover, for all of hour number one. And we're going to get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday, Jacob. How you doing, man?
Doing just fine. What's on your mind?
Hey, Christian. Guys, help me out a little bit here. What was the receiver's name from Hoover that was committed to Auburn and then switched to Georgia at the last minute?
George Pickens.
George Pickens. That's why I say the word commitment don't mean very much anymore. I'm not going to say it don't mean anything, but it means very little.
I forgot about George Pickens. Yeah. And I forget. I always forget he was a Hoover kid, too.
And there's a guy that was committed to Auburn for a long time, and he switched at the last minute and went to Georgia. Now, that was a wise decision on his part. I don't disagree with that.
But Auburn has been on the beneficiary side of that quite a few times, including the guys in this 2024 roster. So it does, as Christian said earlier, it giveth and taketh, right?
Right, exactly. And that's the name I always bring up, you know, when it comes to this quarterback out of is he Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Julian Lewis.
Auburn's a lot closer
to
Georgia than Southern California is.
That's what a map would tell you. And he has been committed to USC for a long time. And
means nothing.
I mean, and like again, I think Christian, and you said, who told you that, or who used that phrase earlier, that it's almost like an announcement or an update, right?
Yeah, Jeffrey Lee.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a commitment is almost like an update now, where it's like, okay, this is where I stand, but anything's possible until I sign on the dotted line. And something that I've continued to say, too, even a signature doesn't mean anything anymore, because they can have their NLI pulled back, and they can request to have that removed.
Right. What's the guy's name out of Georgia? Lewis, the quarterback.
Yeah, Julian.
Guys,
yeah,
are just going to talk about him.
Yep, Julian Lewis.
Christian, what's your opinion? Do you think he's going to flop? Because I just don't think the word commitment. Look, he may end up at USC. I'm not saying he doesn't, but I just don't think. And where in the world does Indiana come in at?
Well, yeah, that's a fair point. It's an interesting recruitment because it's a 5-star quarterback, regarded by some as the best in the country, and it's Auburn, USC, Colorado, and Indiana. It's not exactly the contenders that you would necessarily think of. Indiana's because the quarterback's coach up there has known the Lewis family and known Lewis Julian since he was like 7 years old and had him at like a youth camp when he was 7 years old. So that's Indiana. I don't want to say they're not a factor at all because they're getting an official visit, but it kind of feels like more of a favor than anything else. Like, hey, we'll come up and see you. You know, we'll make sure that, you know, we show you some love. But if he ends up in Indiana, I'll eat my shoe. I don't think that's
going to happen. It'd concern me a lot more if he was a power forward.
That's right.
So I just don't know what the word commitment means anything anymore. It means very little, especially with NIL. So we'll see how it goes. But Christian, how different is recruiting under Hugh Freeze as opposed to what's been down the road? Now we know what he replaced. We know what a joke that was. But Gus Malzahn didn't recruit either.
It's a totally different ball game. The thing, Terry, that I'll say about recruiting under Hugh Freeze, and this goes back to commitment, is you look at George Pickens, you look at Broderick Jones, all these guys that Auburn was heavily in it for under Gus and under Harsin, they got the rug pulled out from under them and they had no idea. You know, they thought that they were good, but these guys flipped or they decommitted or they went somewhere else with Auburn not knowing and Auburn not feeling good. That hasn't happened to this Auburn staff really at all to date. Even if they miss out on a guy, they know it's happening and they already have a backup plan and they're already working on it. They're the ones that are pulling the rug out from under other people so far. So that's been a pretty different pretty big difference in terms of this staff compared to previous
staff. Yeah, Christian, I agree with you with Gus Malzahn, but with Harsin, I don't think there was a rug.
No.
Yeah, you're not wrong there.
Yeah, they were on ice the entire time.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Terry. You too, man. 334-321-1390. And I want to piggyback off of that as well. This staff is not afraid, and correct me if I'm wrong here, they're not afraid to go after guys that are committed other places. I mean, talking about Julian Lewis, a guy that's been committed to USC forever, and Auburn doesn't care. They're going after him. They don't care that you've been committed to Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State or USC. They're going to go and give you their best pitch and see if they can get you to come to their program. And I think they've done a really good job at that.
Look, they have their guys. They have their top of the board, and they're really not going to fall down the board too much in terms of recruiting. They're going to recruit their top guys. If they commit somewhere else, they're going to keep recruiting them. And if they miss out on them and they don't feel great about, you know, maybe someone else there, they'll wait and they'll just go find someone out of the transfer portal. They're really, I mean, they're getting some sleepers, some under the radar guys, some, you know, lower three-star guys who might not be ranked quite as high. But even those guys, they feel pretty confident about what they are in their evaluation of them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're recruiting at a much different level. And, you know, that goes to not being afraid to back down if guys committed elsewhere or even – you know, a guy like Eric Winters is a recruitment that's gone back and forth so much already in this 2025 class, the safety slash linebacker out of Enterprise. Auburn's felt good at some points. Georgia's felt good at some points. Even Miami has been in the mix a little bit, but he hasn't committed anywhere quite yet, and Auburn has always been right there, and I think they're just waiting and ready to go. You know, once it gets super close to the end, they're going to pounce and make sure that they make the last move. It just feels like it's setting up that way, at least.
For the 2025 class, according to 24/7 Sports on your website, Auburn sitting at ninth right now in the country with 11 total commits. They've got 8 are 4 stars and 3 are 3 stars, but after some big, big name 5 stars in that class, where do you, I guess, personally put this class in terms of where it is right now and then, more importantly, the potential of what it could become by the time the entire cycle of 2025 is done?
Look, it's a really solid class. I mean, you look at the positions that they need, and so far they've really already filled them. The offensive mm-hmm. line is a spot where, you know, they went into the class needing to sign a big class. Well, they've already got 4 committed, and they're not even close to it. I think they could get as many as 7 guys in this class along the offensive line, which would be pretty crazy.
Yep.
Defensive line, you had 4. Obviously, you lost Jeremy Garrett, so you ended up losing a couple commitments. I think even if Jeremy Garrett stuck around, you would have eventually lost 1 or 2 of those guys anyway. That's just the way things go. But now Vontrell King-Williams still has 2 really talented ones he's holding on to.
Who's done a fantastic job, by the way.
Yeah, while trying to add some others as well. You know, you signed a really big receiver class last year. There's not a ton of super high-quality receivers in the 2025 class, so you don't see as much there. This cycle, defensively, you've already got a guy like Ja'Caleb Falk as well. You feel pretty good about what you've got. And then talking about potential, look, I think it's setting up to be another top 10 class for Auburn. It can be top 5, though, if Auburn gets Julian Lewis, because that's the type of brand name that he brings to Auburn. It's crazy to say that about a kid who's entering his 3rd and final year of high school, because he did reclassify from 2026 to 2025. But look, this is a kid who, I went and counted it up the other day, between Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, he has over 200,000 combined followers.
Jeez.
This is a guy.
As a high school football player in Georgia.
This is a guy who, since he's been in middle school, you know, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He's been known for a really long time. Everyone, if you're a high school recruit, knows about Julian, and especially these, you know, these wide receivers and tight ends, the pass catchers, even the running backs, they want to play with him. So if you get him, that's very attractive. And then even just, you know, in terms of national coverage and people following along with recruiting, it's going to be, I said it and I got some flack for it in the story this week, I think on paper it's the biggest recruiting win in Auburn history if you can pull it off and get Lewis.
Wow.
Simply on paper, because of what it does for Auburn, what it does for the 25 class, what it does for the 26 class. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be better than Cam Newton or Bo Jackson or any of these guys. I'm not saying on the field, you know, he's going to have that big of an impact. He very well could. I'm just saying on paper what he does for Auburn, if you're able to land him, totally changes how the 2025 class can go down.
Yeah, just the ripple effect, right, of what he would bring and what the news and the headlines and the graphics and the stories would say is, you know, Auburn lands 5-star quarterback. I mean, and don't even include the name, just 5-star quarterback, right? Bring him in to the class, and then, yeah, the ripple effect from other recruits as well who – maybe sitting on and waiting to see where he goes if they've got similar interest and similar offers from the same schools. I mean, that's a chain reaction. That's a domino effect, and we've seen that time and time again. And so in terms of Auburn, it seems to be that they are making some momentum there. He's been on campus a dozen times, it seems like. I mean, he's been here numerous times. And so, I mean, how does – you've talked to some of the guys. How does Auburn feel about this as it stands right now, if you're able to tell us that? How does Auburn kind of feel in terms of where this is right now in the end of May, as it is, what, May 24th?
Yes, so from talking to different sources throughout spring practice and whatnot, I mean, you mentioned it. He's been on campus probably three or four times already this year, and he'll be back in June for the official visit in that 7-on-7 camp like I talked about previously. But there's some quiet confidence, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Things have gone quiet a little bit over the last month, not with Auburn, but just with his recruitment in general, because, look, they had spring practice and he wasn't taking visits. So if you're not taking visits, then buzz dies down a little bit. But I know Auburn went out there to see him quickly and has continued to build up that bond. He's close with Ken Austin, Jesse Stone, the assistant quarterback's coach, Hugh Freeze. All those guys are working it really heavily. And, you know, it's quiet for now, and then pick up as soon as these official visits start. I believe his schedule in order is Indiana, USC, Auburn, and then Colorado. And then once he takes those OVs, the plan from everything that we've heard is to kind of sit down, come to a final decision, and kind of either stick with USC or flip, and then shut things down and go into his final year of high school football with a final choice.
Do we have a date for that? Has he said that?
No, it's just kind of tentatively planning, you know, once he takes his OVs, figure things out from there.
Is Colorado a real player here, or is it more of an Indiana thing and maybe just a, hey, let's go check out Dion in Colorado? I mean, is that a real threat right there?
I think they're in it much more than Indiana. Now, I still struggle to see him ending up at Colorado, but they have an intriguing pitch. Look, they have NIL money to be competitive, and then it's their pitch is, hey, Shador Sanders is going to go be a first-round top 10 pick in the draft this next year, and you know, we think you could come in and play right away. You could come replace him immediately. So,
and make you that eventually, right?
Yeah, so look, Colorado's definitely in it. I still think it's Auburn and USC that are the main two really battling, but I wouldn't fully count out Colorado. I would almost fully count out Indiana. I wouldn't fully count out Colorado.
Other big-name recruits that people need to know about in terms of 2025 that Auburn could be after could be five stars, could be four stars. And I wanted to say this, too, with the offensive linemen. It's really hard for an offensive lineman to be a five-star anyway. And if you're getting big-name four-star offensive linemen, you're going to be just fine. And that's what Auburn's got a handful of already, which we have to say that because we went so long without being able to say it. And we bring that up every time you're in here, but it's a miracle to see it happening on that offensive line. But other names that people should get to be knowing, and I guess that Auburn could be a player for in 2025.
Yeah, look, I can give you some five-star offensive linemen. last weekend, you had Andrew Babalola in for an official visit.
Yes, I'm excited about this.
Yeah, so Auburn is really, really in it with Andrew Babalola. I think Stanford is the main competition from talking to different people, which some people may say, oh, Stanford, why are they in it? Look, take a step back, understand how he's evaluating his recruitment. He's looking for academics, and he's looking for development.
Which is rare, I think. I think that's rare nowadays, and you could probably tell me that more than I could. But
it absolutely is. It's an old-school recruitment a little bit, and Auburn is positioned in a spot to really make a move there. I don't know if I would call them the favorite, but they're right up there near the top. Malachi Goodman is another top 10 offensive lineman in the country who was in last weekend for an official visit. Auburn, Penn State, Georgia, all kind of battling there.
Nice.
Josh Petty, five-star offensive tackle, expected to be in June for an official visit. So many contenders there, but Auburn's on the short list, probably within the top five there. And then Broderick Scholl, who will be in next weekend for an official visit. He's a four-star with us at 24/7. I know On3 has him as a five-star, so some varying ideas about how talented he is, but what all that really matters in terms of rankings is how a school sees him, and Auburn sees him as a true tier one, top of the board type guy. And that's one that I do feel confident saying that Auburn is the leader there.
Okay.
Nebraska's right there as well, but I already put in a crystal ball for Auburn. I think they sit in a really good spot. So that's one that they're making a move with. So that's offensive lineman.
That means it's official, by the way. If Christian puts in his crystal ball. That means it's happening 100%. You can take it to the bank, put your life savings on it, that it will happen. I'm pretty sure that's what you have on your Twitter bio, right?
Exactly. I'm going to have to answer some questions about that on the message board now later. But, Caleb Cunningham, another five-star, five-star wide receiver. That's one that Auburn's definitely in, but pulling him out of Mississippi is going to be interesting. I mean, you still continue to recruit the defensive lineman that you lost, Antonio Coleman and Kalen Edwards. Even though Antonio Coleman flipped back to Alabama, he's still probably going to officially visit Auburn. Look, there's a ton of names to list off here. Linebackers, there's some good ones.
Yeah. And folks, he's doing this off the rip. He's not reading these. I'm impressed.
Elijah Melendez is a Miami commit who's going to officially visit next weekend. Daryl Duke Johnson is a composite five-star with us committed to Alabama who's supposed to officially visit as well. You obviously already got Tyler Lockhart. You have J.J. Falk, Zion Grady, Eric Winters from Enterprise. So
just big names, man. Just some big names.
It's loaded. Isaiah Gibson is a five-star committed to USC out of Warner Robins that's going to officially visit. So, look, you've got – we talked about it. You're kind of big game hunting now a little bit. You're looking for those huge – you know, guys, you have a top 10 class. The guys that you have you in the top 10?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just keep getting a bunch more of those guys, you would sign a top 10 class. Now you're looking for a couple of guys that would get you from 10 to 7 or get you from 7 to 5, bump you up there a little bit more.
And Auburn continues to go after big names, those big fish here in the state, right? They continue to get those big names here in the state of Alabama. One more thing before we get to break. In terms of Alabama, and I'm talking about in Tuscaloosa, what have you seen and kind of heard on that side with the new head coach, with just all the changes that have happened up there? How is that real? And I know you don't cover Alabama, but you see what they do on the trail in comparison to the guys that Auburn's going after as well. I mean, how has that been over the last few months with just a new look up there? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a mixed bag. They've absolutely had some positives. I'm not going to take away from that. They've gotten some big commitments, a guy like Derek Smith out of Southside Selma.
Yeah.
They've gotten some guys that they – Ryan Williams is obviously the main one there in the 24 class that they were able to lock down there at the end. So they've gotten some big wins. You've also had guys like Zion Grady, a really talented edge rusher in the state, who say he hadn't even heard from Alabama. So it's been a mixed bag, but you kind of expect that when you're trying to recruit in the SEC for the first time. It's definitely an Alabama that's still recruiting nationally. You know, Alabama got to the point under Nick Saban where they could recruit nationally because they were such a big brand and kids from all over the country would do that. Because Kalen DeBoer and those guys were coming over from the West Coast, it kind of continued that on. But maybe it put them at a disadvantage in certain areas in the Southeast. But like I said, they've gotten guys like Derek Smith. They've gotten other guys. So it's hard to tell in May. Once we get to December and once we get to signing day, we'll have a better indication.
Yeah.
But – look, Hugh Freeze and this staff has decided, you know, Will Redmond, he said it on our interview yesterday. He said, we feel really confident about recruiting our backyard in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee a little bit, Florida a little bit, and that we can win a national championship here with those guys. So, look, if Alabama's still trying to recruit nationally a little bit more and Auburn can dip into the state of Alabama a little bit more, you're not going to find any complaints from Auburn staff. They feel really good about the talent that the state produces, and it's only getting better and better.
Absolutely. I mean, Alabama's a top five state in the country in terms of high school talent, and Auburn has just been on the secondary market in terms of that because when Nick Saban was at Alabama, they got anybody they wanted in the state. And so Auburn had to basically get whoever was left. And so Auburn's trying – they're trying to change that. And I think they are.
I mean, they changed it last year. They signed more guys from the state of Alabama than Alabama did last year.
When's the last time that happened?
Yeah. Now, Alabama still signed a higher-ranked class, to be fair, but Auburn signed a lot of really talented guys from the state of Alabama. Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, guys that Alabama would have loved to have had, DeMarcus Riddick.
So. And they wanted them. Don't let them tell you they didn't now. They wanted those players. It's become such a narrative. Oh, we didn't want him anyway. Whatever. Go down there. We didn't want him. He's not even that good. Okay. Yeah. Five-star receiver. Sure, you didn't want him anyway. 334-321-1390. We'll come back, wrap up our conversation here in hour number one with Christian Clemente from Auburn 247. He will be with us one more segment as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one and wrapping up our conversation with Christian Clemente from Auburn 247. He joins us about once a month on average, just depends on what's going on. It may be a little bit longer because he's about to be in some of his busiest time of the year. And so, Christian, one more time before we get into a separate side conversation, plug everything, tell people where they can find you, what you do, and kind of what's going to be coming up, maybe some of those important dates that we need to know too.
Yeah, so it's all over at auburnundercover.com. You can follow me on Twitter at cclemente247. And then in terms of things coming up, recruiting nonstop. That's what it's going to be.
Yes.
Even our team guy, you know, Nathan Kane, he'll come help me out with recruiting stuff because it's that crazy with camps, official visits, not this weekend, but starting next weekend, every weekend till about the end of June when it goes dead, there will be official visitors. There will be midweek official visitors. There will be 7-on-7 camps. There will be O-line, D-line, elite camps. All the recruiting coverage you could possibly want in terms of football, we will have it for you at auburnundercover.com.
Awesome. Yeah, go check that out. You can have some of the free articles, and then look, the subscription's worth it. I do it, and I've done it for a long time. So go over there, check that out, and you guys have deals and run specials all the time there, too.
Yeah, you can. I think you can always get 30% off or something like that. I know we have 30% off right now, an annual sub. We'll probably run like a 4th of July promo. And then we'll definitely run a promo around Big Cat Weekend as well. So look, if you want to wait a little bit, you can probably get a better deal. I'll give you that tip.
There you go. That's what you get for listening between 2 and 4 each and every day on ESPN 106.7. Complete side conversation. Has nothing to do with recruiting. You're a golf guy, and you play golf throughout your time when you're not having to work. You'll be going out and playing some great golf courses, I'm sure, over the next few months. Your thoughts on just the insane storyline around Scottie Scheffler, really quick. We're about to get kicked out of here.
It's crazy. I tried not to follow it too much because it doesn't affect me, and I don't want to get involved in political conversations or anything like that. But I struggled to understand that Scottie Scheffler could do anything wrong because he seems like one of the most stand-up human beings of all time.
Yeah, so. The most boring man in golf. And in some of the videos that are coming out now, I don't know. I'm starting to get a little sketchy there, but that's all right. I figured you had at least something to say about it. But, hey, man, always appreciate you joining us. We'll have to do it again soon. I know you're going to be super busy, so thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no, we'll see you again soon.
Awesome. 247 Auburn Undercover. Go check it out. Christian Clemente, our recruiting guru, was with us all of hour number one. We'll talk some more Auburn football, plus the biggest news in college sports that happened yesterday. That's all coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Friday, May 24th, 2024, as we get into hour number two here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, our recruiting guru, Christian Clemente from Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover. You all know him very well. He was with us the entire first hour of the show, so If you missed any of that, if you missed all of it, and you want to catch up and learn what's going on in the world of recruiting, Christian also gave us some of his thoughts on Julian Lewis, the five-star quarterback commit that is for USC, but is trying to get, or I guess Auburn's trying to flip him. I should say five-star recruit. Maybe I should say it that way. Five-star recruit. How about that? The USC commit. Christian gave us some of his thoughts on that and a ton more in terms of Auburn football recruiting. So if you missed that, go listen to the podcast later on today, later on this weekend, if you're out on the boat or something for Memorial Day and you need something to listen to. That's what everybody wants, is on the line on the boat, right? And you can find that at ESPNAU.com in our podcast center. You can also just search on the line wherever you get your podcast. Phone lines are open here in hour number two on this free-for-all Friday. Just me and you. No Uncle T-Bone. Christian left. Heck, my mama's in studio today and she even left. And now the building's empty. It's you and me for the next hour. So phone lines are open. Want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind on this free-for-all Friday, Auburn related, college related, pro related, I don't care. As long as it's sports, we're good to go. 334-321-1390. I've got to talk about the settlement that has officially gone down in this entire NCAA lawsuit that has all come to fruition. Everything that you need to know in what some are claiming the biggest day in the NCAA's history. Because of everything that has happened and everything that is now going to be allowed here, You thought it was bad right now with NIL, transfer portal, recruiting, everything. You thought it was the wild, wild west then. This is a whole new era of college football and college athletics. And I recommend that you go and check it out on 247. It's just the article that I was able to find from Chris Hummer. And he wrote this out and broke it down in a really, really nice way in an FAQ with everything that people have been wondering and kind of what all this means. So basically what you need to know, and it is pretty simple. Revenue sharing is now in college sports. Colleges are now going to be able to pay players directly. And I'm not just talking college football. This is college sports. Schools are going to have X amount of dollars that will be an agreed upon number, which is expected to be around $20 million a year. They're going to have this pool of money that they get, and they're going to be able to pay their student athletes $20 million. And they're not just receiving this money out of the blue. This is money that they earn, but they can now use this money and directly pay any athlete that they want. They can use it for more scholarships, because that seems to be what's happening here is, in terms of football, the scholarship number could go down or it could go up. Other programs, other sports, you can be paid directly from Auburn to go and play on the basketball team or the baseball team or the softball team. And we'll get into all that in just a second. But basically, that's what you need is revenue sharing is now a thing. And you are now going to start hearing those terms of salary cap and going over and contracts and agreements and buyouts. All of those things have now become true. They've all become real. And those are things that I've continued to tell you that were coming down the line. But this multi-billion dollar settlement that the NCAA just got done doing is what has changed all of that. There's a ton of legal things that you got to cut through. And again, this guy, Chris Hummer, has done a really, really good job. But in terms of what you need to know, schools are going to have a pool of money to pay athletes that they want to come and compete at their school. And while that number is not set in stone yet, in terms of how much money kids are going to make, it's up to the school. Which athletes are going to get paid? Well, that's up to the schools. You want to pay this football player $1 million, but you want to pay that soccer player $20? Well, you can do that. And you can spread this out as much as you want and wherever you want and however you want. And what's scary here and what people have already started bringing up is schools are going to use this. Again, $20 million seems to be the number, and for easy math, we'll leave it at that. Schools, and people are already talking about how these schools are going to say, you know what, soccer team, you don't really make us money. In fact, we actually lose quite a bit of money on that program here at Auburn or here at Alabama or here at wherever. So instead of paying you, we're going to put this money back into the football program that brings in a couple dozen million dollars. Yeah, we're actually going to go pay for that center to come play basketball because the sport turns a profit. That's what's happening here, and that's what's about to happen. And I'm sure there's a ton of you that just said, well, what about Title IX? You're absolutely right. What about Title IX, Jacob? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. Because you have to look at this from numerous perspectives. The first perspective being the school itself, being the athletic department itself. Okay, I can now take a part of my revenue, a part of my profit every year from our major sports, and we can use that to actively recruit and go get the best of the best and benefit our athletes. All right, cool. There will be a set number, whether that's set by the NCAA or set by the SEC or the Big Ten or the conferences and commissioners or whoever. There will eventually be a set number that everybody's going to have. As long as you got it, you can spend it, right? And for a major athletics department, are you going to go out and pay a... And this is no slander versus any of these athletes that play these sports. I'm talking about in the perspective of a school right now in an athletics department. Are you going to go and pay X athlete $50,000 from swimming and diving, where you have to pay a lot of money for that sport to exist? Or are you going to go and buy that college football player, that running back, that receiver, that whatever, and add them to a sport that's making you millions and millions of dollars? That's where this is headed. And it's not, it sucks. Sucks a lot. Because I think you're getting into an area now where these non-revenue generating sports could go away. They could go away in terms of being NCAA recognized sports at certain schools. And don't even get me started on the future of the NCAA. You know where I think about that. They're not going to exist with programs like Auburn much longer. I'm just letting you know. But in terms of an Auburn soccer team, or an Auburn volleyball team, or an Auburn track and field team, like, I don't know what the future of that holds for major programs and Power Four schools, because at what point do these schools sit down and make the hard business decision of, well, we got to invest in what makes us money? You don't invest in a product that you can't sell on the shelves. If it sits there inside of a Walmart or a Target or whatever, and it doesn't get taken off the shelves and nobody's buying it, you're not going to put more money back into it and hope that it succeeds. No, you're going to take your money and you're going to put it into another product that the consumer actually buys. And that's the nasty, dirty, hard reality side of all of this, is these universities and these athletic departments are going to have to sit down and have these really difficult conversations. And there are going to be so many lawsuits flying off the walls in the next few years, our brains won't be able to keep up with them. But now, with that, go on the flip side and look at it from an athlete's perspective. I can get paid from this university, from Auburn or from Florida or whatever. And of course, most of this conversation is directed towards the football side of things, because at just about every school, that's the one that makes the most money. 95% of schools make their majority of their money in athletics off of football. And talking in a Power Four sense, that's how that works. So we will talk about it in that term right now. You are now a high-level receiver that can not only go and get a scholarship, you can get paid directly by a school on top of even more, which we'll get to in a second. Okay, so you have revenue sharing. You're eventually going to have a thing called a salary cap, which is how the NFL works. And I heard some other guys up in Birmingham today talking about, look how the NFL does it, right? You've got a roster limit. You've got a salary cap. You've got all of those things. And college football is heading towards that right now. I've been saying that, and many other people have as well. That all is happening. And now they've also put in there how roster sizes are basically going to be restructured. And programs can give unlimited scholarships if they want to, or restructure how they want to do it. Some people think they're going to grow and get to the 110s, 120s in college football. Some people think it's going to go down to the 70s and 60s. I don't know. I don't know which way it's going to go. But the idea of unlimited scholarships is now on the table, which could mean more scholarships across other sports. I'm not just talking football here. And there's so many things to consider here and to break down, but that's something that came of all of this lawsuit as well. And so the question that people began to ask was, okay, if every school gets $20 million to go and buy these players and you're getting paid directly from the school, right? Well, how does school A separate themselves from school B? How does Auburn set themselves apart from Alabama and vice versa? Well, that's where name, image, and likeness comes in. That's where the NIL part of this is still playing a major factor. No longer are the days of hush-hush money under the table. This article refers to the McDonald's bags of money for player X, Y, and Z to go and play for this other school because overnight the school just found more NIL money. And you're recruiting, you just happen to have more money. That's not going to be that. Those days in this crazy era that we've been in for the last handful of years, that's eventually going to go away to that extent. It's not fully going away, and I'm getting there. But the days of, oh, he went to Colorado because they paid him more money, or, oh, he flipped to Georgia, they got a big donation overnight. Well, I don't think that's going to be the case as much anymore. Which, in just a vacuum in that sense, great. I'm all for that. That's awesome. That the days of just outbidding somebody for NIL straight up are over. But not fully. Because outside of that $20 million, Auburn can go to a kid and say, well, look, out of our pool of money, we have this much to offer you. But you can still go get your own brand deals. You can still go get your own NIL money. You can still go get all of the endorsements, all of those things. You can still go do that on your own. But here's what we have for you. And this pay-for-play motto, narrative that we've gotten into, it's not going away. It's just a heck of a lot more difficult to try and navigate. I don't think collectives are going anywhere. I think the collectives will still be the separating factor, sure, right? But in terms of the athlete, this is now just more guaranteed money. This is just a guaranteed factor of, okay, you know, Ohio State told me that they're going to pay me $500,000 out of their $20 million, so I've got that in the bag 100%. That's not going anywhere. And then their collective said they've got this, and this car dealership, I could do this, and this baked bean company said I could do this, right? That's how this is all coming together. And that's now going to be more complicated than ever before. But in terms of the athlete, in terms of the recruit, that guaranteed money from the school where you better hope their word is as good as gold, and if it's not, you'll take them for more. That's how you avoid Jaden Rashadas of the world. That's how you avoid those big situations, something we've talked about all week long, where a kid was promised almost $14 million by a school, its head coach, and the boosters behind him, and then they changed their minds. This is hopefully going to at least prevent that for the most part. And it gets even crazier. Because now, again, where do you go from here? How do you control this? Shoot, the NCAA couldn't control the transfer portal or NIL to start. And you're telling me that we're going to put our trust in their hands? We're going to put the future of college football in their hands again? Absolutely not. Which is why I've continued to say the NCAA, man, their power was already limited and their credibility was already through the floor and the gutter and the trash and the garbage. But it's even worse now. And I promise you that the Greg Sankeys of the world that lead the most powerful conference in the country in college sports, he doesn't want them having their paws on this. And you shouldn't either as a fan. The athletes shouldn't want this. The coaches shouldn't want this. The schools should not want this. And that's why the NCAA, in the next handful of years, and I think it's less than 10, could be 5 or more, 5 or less, they will not be the governing body of major power schools anymore. They just won't. Because they don't benefit anybody. They don't do their jobs correctly. And this is way too complicated for them to be doing it. This is way over the heads of the NCAA and the folks inside that building. Because this is about to get complicated. It's about to get nasty. And some real adult, grown-up conversations are about to be had. And real decisions need to be made. And the NCAA has proven they don't have what it takes to do that. 334-321-1390. Let's take our first break in hour number two. Call in. Give me your thoughts on all of this. If you have questions, I'll do my best to answer them. I'm still learning about it as we go. And this is something that we will continue to learn about over the next few months, years, and however long it takes for this to settle itself out. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll have more on this when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, continuing to talk about what all is happening with this NCAA settlement, the lawsuit that became of it, and everything that now is going to be changing in the future of college athletics. And somebody, you know, people have been bringing up the fact of, okay, well, what does all of this change? Is the transfer portal still going to exist, and NIL and collectives? And yeah, I don't think any of that is, I don't think any of that's going away. I just think it's all going to change once again. And where I believe all of this is going is, yeah, this pool of money that each school is going to have, that's your, quote, salary cap, okay? That's the money that you have to spend on whoever you want, which is how professional sports work. But you know it's a pretty popular trend in professional sports? Baseball, basketball, football. You know what's a pretty popular trend in those sports? All the teams go over their salary cap. Because they don't care. Now, some leagues have more punishment than others, and some leagues will fine you and make you pay more money and take draft picks and withhold things, and some leagues you can just buy your way out of it, Major League Baseball. But I'm curious on how this is going to work. And with football, basketball, baseball, college athletics in general, you can go over your salary cap in other ways. You're not going to get or to be able to spend more of your revenue on these scholarships and athletes and things like that. But again, that's where the NIL part of this comes in. And that's where the collectives come in and whether they, you know, whether these schools want to have it on a secondary side of things or bring it in-house or do whatever. I don't know. Again, I don't claim to have all the answers. I'm breaking it down with you as I go. And what I've been able to read and listen to so far, there's just so many unknown things here. And again, I'm not claiming to know it all because I don't. And that's where you're going to be able to get ahead. Because not these schools aren't going to sit back and say, well, we've only got $20 million. I guess we'll just do the best we can since everybody else has got it and make it as fair as possible. No. No. It's never been that way. It's never been that way because not everybody's on the same playing field and level playing field, right? Auburn has more money than Rutgers. Alabama has more money than whoever, than Buffalo. I mean, it's just how it goes. And that's why the big schools are big. That's why the Power Four exists. That's why major conferences are what they are in college athletics. But it now becomes, okay, how much money do you have? Where do you get that extra money, and how do you get your edge? Somebody's going to figure it out. Somebody's going to do it. And if whoever that is can find a way to do it and dominate it, that's going to be who your next great head coach is in college football. That's who the next great program will be. That's what Nick Saban did at Alabama when times were a heck of a lot simpler, not taking away anything that he did, but it was a lot more simple back then to recruit than it is now. You walked in and said, hey, you can start for me in the secondary and I'll put you in the NFL in 2 years. Sign here. And that was it. That's how you did it. That was recruiting. Now you have to deal with all these other factors. So who's it going to be that figures out the way to not necessarily dominate this new era? Because I don't think it exists. I don't think anything like that will ever happen again. In terms of one head coach, one program being the absolute top dog go-to place, we want them, we got them type of recruiting. That's not going to happen anymore. In terms of college football, that will never happen again because there are so many other factors now. And everybody can catch up. Everybody can be on similar playing fields. Alabama was on the same playing field as everybody. They just flexed their muscles and had results and pulled away as time went on. But now, other than the results on the field and the guys you put into the NFL, everybody's the same, give or take. And so then it's now, okay, how do you break away from that? How do you pull away from that like Alabama did for all those years to where they got to, again, Nick Saban having number one recruiting classes year after year after year and competing and most of the time winning national championships year after year after year? Who's that going to be? And how do you do it? I think you got to figure out what you're allowed to do. That's a big part of this is over the next, couple of years, is figuring out what's going to be allowed, what's going to be banned and frowned upon, and what changes are going to be made along the way. Because as things come up, and this happens everywhere in sports, when anything, when any new thing is implemented, when somebody finds that crack, right, when somebody finds that loophole, do they get away with it? Or do they shut it down? Do they allow it for a certain amount of time and then shut it down? Or do they say, oh, wow, okay, yeah, sure, that works. Go ahead, keep doing that. And then everybody else jumps on it. And then how many more wrinkles are thrown into this? How many more changes are made along the way? That's what leaves all of this so confusing, is we just don't know. And it's not going to be uniform. And I don't think it'll ever be the same from one year to the next. Something will always give, something will always change when it comes to recruiting, the money, the guarantee, whether it be a salary cap or a contract or buying people out. I don't know. And man, that's a scary world. How times have changed in college football, in college athletics, college recruiting. It's wild, man. We'll talk about it as we go over the next months, years, who knows. But we'll get to some Auburn football news and some fun conversation 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. We're about to get to the phone lines. Want to remind you, though, as we are getting into the weekend here at ESPN 106.7 for Memorial Day, and hope you all have a safe and happy Memorial Day and extended weekend for you and extended weekend for us as well here at ESPN Radio. We will not have any of our local shows on Monday. We do have some baseball coming up this weekend and on Monday afternoon, so if you're looking for something to listen to, you can catch that here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. But no Max Roundtable, no On the Line, no The Drive, okay? So we'll all be back on Tuesday of next week, and I'll remind you that again at the end of the show as well. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Happy early Memorial Day weekend. Hey, had a couple comments. I had a question, a comment.
Okay.
First, on, I think your vision and how you've laid out is how you think this will move forward is the vision I think most in the industry have. It's the vision I have. Here's the part of this that I don't have down yet. So the way I see this happening is I see college athletes being viewed as employees, and as employees, compensation is going to have to be known. It's going to have to be a known commodity, what this guy's making at this school, et cetera. What I don't have ironed out in my mind yet is how does this work for private schools where you don't have any type of FOIA or mandatory reporting statutes?
That's a good question. I haven't thought about that. Is there a particular school in your mind or just the private schools in general about what this could do?
Private schools in general, because look at a school like maybe a TCU that has a lot of funding, or a Duke, or a Miami. Those are schools that I think are Southern Cal that could do serious work, kind of have it be under the table, and or non-reported, and I think could be very advantaged over the next decade or two.
That's a good point, John. I hadn't thought about that. And you know what? This may end up becoming something, whether it be the NCAA or whether it be the conferences, or heck, it could be the government that has to come in and say, look, in terms of this, to have a fair reference point, we have to know what those back end numbers are, right? I mean, we have to know what the income is for your university, and that way we at least, or maybe provide it every 3 or 5 years or something like that, to where it can be controlled. Or this is just off the fly. Maybe those schools, as fair or unfair as this may be, maybe they'll be punished in how much money in that pool they could give out because they don't report their money and their income and things like that and the donations and all of that. Maybe there's a little bit of a knock against them because they don't have those numbers reported. I'm not really sure.
And to me, it would be really interesting in the case of a Miami, which with a disadvantaged ACC and the amount of money that gets apportioned by their conference. So just a thought and where my mind went on that.
Yeah, hey, I like that.
I had one more comment, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
The Jalen Rashada thing got me started. Are you familiar with the name Leo Lewis?
Leo Lewis. I don't know.
This is interesting to me. So Leo Lewis was a linebacker coming out of Brookhaven, Mississippi about 10 years ago.
Okay.
Was the top prospect in the state of Mississippi, was choosing between Ole Miss, who was coached by Hugh Freeze at the time, and Dan Mullen. He eventually chooses Mississippi State. That's when Ole Miss and allegations start coming, and the NCAA offers him immunity to say whatever he wants to about Ole Miss while he's a student-athlete at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
He goes ahead, and basically part of his allegations was that an on-campus bookstore in Ole Miss was helping funnel money. Well, that word got out, and that bookstore wound up suing Dan Mullen, wound up suing Leo Lewis, and all these other entities with Mississippi State for defamation of character.
Huh. Okay.
And it was settled out of court, I think, within the last year and a half.
Yeah, I'm kind of doing some quick Google search in here. Yeah. Because I'm not familiar with it, I'll be honest with you.
Right. And most people in Auburn are not, but I just find that fascinating that there is kind of a little bit of a reverse precedent to the Jalen Rashada thing, and it has a Hugh Freeze connection.
How about that? How about, and you know what? I'm surprised that there aren't more of those types of situations, John. I'll be honest.
Completely agree. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Thanks so much, John. Great to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open. You can get in on this conversation or anything else on your mind here on a Friday afternoon. 334-321-1390. And, you know, that's kind of where I go with all this, too, is this is about it, as dirty and ugly as we and slimy as we think all of this is now. Is it going to get, let me ask you this, in your opinion, is it going to get better with the direction that we're heading? Is it going to get cleaner? Is it going to be more known of what money's being thrown around and who's getting what and why people went where? Or is it only going to get worse? I genuinely don't know where I sit on that. I don't know, because it's a question I just thought of because of the things that John brought up. I mean, is it going to be better that we are supposed to know how much money schools have to give out and how much money players are going to be making if it's in a written legal contract, which I assume, like in professional sports, will be available to anybody with a smartphone in their pocket that can go and look it up on the internet? Is that going to make it better, or is it just going to be kind of kicking the can down the road of, okay, well, we know how much they're making on their contract, but do we really know how much they're getting behind the scenes, under the table, if you will? I don't know. That's, if I had to guess, that's probably where this goes, because college sports, as much as we love it, as much as we have loved college football, college basketball, all the college sports and the major ones at that, football, basketball, as much as we've loved them over the years, the reputation of being clean is not really there. right? I mean, it's pretty dirty. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of situations where deals have been made that were not legal. Things have been done that were not legal by coaches and players and administrations, and now with collectives and things like that. That's happened forever. That's not going away, right? Or maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. Maybe I'm being a negative Nancy here. But I was talking about earlier how teams and how these programs have to get an advantage and gain an edge. There's still always going to be some that want to do it the wrong way. And I'm not claiming and allegating and I guess singling out any particular person or program here. Because let's just be real. It happens everywhere. It's happened forever, and it happens everywhere in some way, shape, or form. And heck, we've seen coaches get fired because they couldn't perform to the highest level because they refused to do it, which is a whole separate conversation. But with the direction we're heading of, again, salary caps and full-fledged contracts, and like John was saying, we're talking about legitimate employees of schools and universities. Heck, I saw somebody bring this up earlier on social media. I was scrolling through X before the show trying to, you know, just get some more information about all of this. And I saw somebody bring up, what about benefits? What about employee benefits? And how does a football player get the same benefits as the janitor or vice versa? Does the janitor or the full-time cook at a restaurant on campus, do they get the same employee benefits as the starting quarterback does? It's like, oh my God, these are real conversations. These are real topics that people are bringing up. And I'm not making fun of them at all. I'm not joking. This is serious. These are legitimate things that are coming into play here. And it all has stemmed from college athletes being able to collect money. Man, there are people out there, and the ones that we have lost over the years that are turning in their graves from kids making money and the amount of money that they're making now and where we're headed of just legitimate signed contracts is wild, man. And it's just 20 years ago, could we ever have imagined that it would be where it is today? I didn't. I wouldn't have. And for those of you that have been around longer than I have, doing this longer than I have, there's no shot anybody predicted that it would become this in what we're heading to right now. 334-321-1390. Let's get back to the phone lines. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. What's up, man?
Hey, this is revenue sharing.
That's where it's going. Yeah.
Okay, well, here's my thing. All right, you want revenue sharing players. Gotta pay, hopefully they'll be paying taxes like the rest of us in the real world have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're revenue sharing, they should have to pay some of the expenses because that's part of, they don't put forth any of the risk that, you know, the schools put forth with the expenses. They got it. Then they need to help pay for non-revenue sports.
Interesting.
They need to have a share of that in general. I mean, because, you know, you can't just have all the money and all of that stuff because the school has to pay for other things too.
Mm-hmm.
Facilities, I'm just saying that's, and fine, they have NIL, great. But in my mind, and maybe I sound old, they've always been paid.
You
had a kid go to school, no, I'm not talking about all that, yeah, we know that too.
Okay.
You have a kid go to school, you pay for their school, their, meaning tuition.
Yep.
Place to stay, food, apparel, they get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been getting all of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, maybe I sound old, but you need to add that in. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars does that cost a regular person?
A lot. Yeah, I mean, it costs a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. And there's a lot. Yeah.
People don't take that into consideration, but those of us that are parents mm-hmm. and that have kids go to school.
Sure.
Go to school and have gone to school ourselves and put the bill ourselves, realize that.
Which is so crazy that you're
talking heads like Stephen A. Smith and all these dummies like that, they don't realize they don't put that in the equation.
No, they don't. You're exactly right. That's just, I mean, that's just like an automatic given. Like nobody thinks about that. Yeah, the school that is being paid for, and all the food and the travel and the activities and the living. I mean, all of that.
They're room and board.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
You want to try to get an apartment? I mean, I pay a mortgage, but an apartment in Auburn or even in Opelika, you're talking $1,200 or $1,300 a month.
You better believe it. Better believe it.
Easy. And, it just makes me feel like, you're getting to play a sport, but you chose to do that.
Mm-hmm. And it comes off as a money grab.
NIL now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it is a lot of a money grab, and if you're going to be that way, then okay, fine. Okay, well then let's sit down. These are the expenses. So minus this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not going to happen because people don't take that into account. But and I love sports, but it's getting to be more and more that it's less affordable for a normal person to go.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at Auburn, you can't tell a regular person. You're being pushed out further and further to tailgate. I absolutely refuse to pay to be in one of those stupid white tents. I hate it. I mean, yeah, I sound old, but I like doing my own tailgating and being able to have a place that's within decent range, walking distance to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, in general, and you keep wanting more and more money, and it's going to put more and more people, like the regular people, that's not going to be able to afford to go.
Everything's going up.
And that's the tragedy.
Yeah. Everything is going up.
Grow up and love it. And eventually that's going to, that's just going to come home to roost.
And everything that you're saying, Mark.
There's an endless supply
right, of
money. It's just eventually there's going to be a bubble.
And everything that you're saying is what for the last however many years that college football and professional football have existed and coexisted, all of those things that you just talked about, that's the things that separated college and NFL football, separated college basketball from the NBA. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about how much this receiver or this point guard was making. It was, hey, this kid's coming here to get an education and he wants to win games at Auburn. But it's not about that anymore, and it sucks.
And the sad reality is very few of these the athletes are going to move on to the NFL, but they think that they are, I guess, still. But and they discount finishing getting that degree.
Mm-hmm.
No one can take you get that degree, and no one can take that away from you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's valuable, And also, I guess another little sub thing is, I guess going portal, and I don't know how in the world they keep up with credits, and how they are going to graduate. I don't know how that, because certain things transfer to schools and then they don't.
Yeah,
I know. I went to a junior college and they wanted me. Oh, why don't you graduate? No, I don't care. I want to take classes that transfer to Auburn and only the classes.
That's right.
I'm like, I'm not, my eyes are on a 4-year degree, not a 2-year.
Yep. And that's why the advisors exist, I guess. And that throw that in the wrinkle too. I mean, and you've listened long enough, you know where I stand on the school part of this. When it comes to big time athletes, I mean, again, eventually they're not going to be going to school. You're going to be playing football at Auburn, and there just happens to be some educational buildings on campus too.
And then eventually down the line, they're going to regret. But, hey, I didn't take advantage of getting a degree.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Anyway, thanks for the time.
Yeah, man, appreciate you calling in. Happy Friday to you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. 334-321-1390. And we're going to get to break, but he brings up interesting points there. What are the repercussions of all of this? Has anybody thought about that? He has, obviously. He just brought it up. He talked about it. But let's look 10 years down the line from now. And a kid that decides to go and play basketball at UCLA, goes for 2 years, doesn't get an education, doesn't get that degree, goes on. I mean, we've seen it in the past. They go and play in the NBA or the G League, right? Tears his ACL and is never the same. And then then what? Then your future's up in the air. Then you're kind of left wondering, okay, now what? And I think that's going to happen even more. Now, I guess there is a positive side, is kids are making money now, and they're making pretty good amounts of it. And if you're anybody that's worth anything, you're making really good money. And if you're smart with it, you can make enough money right now to live on the rest of your life, which is crazy. But that gets back to, yeah, the taxes part. The real world side of it, I like how he said that. The real world side of things, taxes, expenses, and all these different things that you have to do that the average Joe deals with when they get large sums of money. And those are things I hope they're being taught. I hope those things are coming up when they need to. I just don't know if they are. All right, we got to get to our final break. We went way long, but hey, appreciate the call, man. Always good to hear from you and all of our wonderful listeners. Final break here. We'll come back, wrap it up here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Man, I appreciate you all being with me here on this Friday. It's been you and me. We had Christian Clemente from Auburn Undercover, our recruiting guru, our go-to recruiting guy. He's the best in the business. He was with us all of hour number one, so if you missed any of that, you can go and listen to some recruiting updates over the weekend out there from Memorial Day. Whenever you get a chance, you can check that out. And then here in hour number two, we've talked a lot about this ongoing situation with the future of college athletics and what it's going to look like. And look, let's just be real. Nobody really knows. And we're just going to have to all figure it out as we go. And we'll do it together, you and me. So thank you so much for being here. Again, if you missed any of the show today, you can go and catch up with the podcast, ESPNAU.com. You can also find it on our or wherever you get your podcast. Just search On the Line. Again, no show on Monday. All right, we will all be back on Tuesday. The Drive, they'll have their show today, but no shows on Monday, no Max Roundtable on the line or The Drive. We will all be celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and coming back on Tuesday. And shout out to all of our wonderful and just brave military personnel, men, women, anybody that has been a part of the military, currently serving in the military. Memorial Day is one of those where I know it's a day for a lot of folks to go out on the water and enjoy the day off and go drinking or whatever, but just remember what the day is about. All right, and for those that have lost their lives, to give us the chance to do what we do, for you to go on the lake, for me to talk on the radio, for us to have civil, fun, open conversations about sports for 5 days a week, man. We are blessed to be in a country that we're in, good or bad, whether you think it's in a good spot or not, that's not what it's about. All right, celebrate Memorial Day the proper way. Be safe. Have a great time. We'll all be back on Tuesday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Another big week coming up next week as recruiting will get ramped up as well. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then. No show Monday, back on Tuesday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.